I speak to you today in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to have a bit of a rock music trivia question for you to start our sermon off today. See if you can tell what song these lyrics come from. I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free. God knows. God knows I want to break free.
Queen 85.
Queen 85. Now, if I had... Yeah, he got it. He also heard the first sermon, but he does... Yeah, he does know. He does know the song. Now, if I had been up here in like a white leather suit and this was like Wembley and I had like a mustache and I was like, I want to break free, you might have known it better. But what I just read is the opening stanza of the song I Want to Break Free by the iconic English-British rock band Queen. Now, some of you, obviously, some of you, including our rector, know what that song is, but some of you may not immediately recognize it, but you've heard it. You have to have heard it. If you've watched TV in the past, like, 30 years, this song has been featured on Coca-Cola commercials, Dorita commercials, Norwegian Cruise Line commercials. Now, also, this song became an anthem for the ANC in South Africa in the late 1980s when Nelson Mandela was still in jail and while that government's white apartheid policies were still in place. There are different levels of meaning in this song, but I think that the reason or the way that has resonated with so many people for these 40, 45 years is that nearly every person has an unbridled desire for freedom in their lives. Freedom is such an elemental need that wars are fought over it. Poets and authors write about it. Another rock question, trivia question, songs like Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird, and speeches like Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech are powerful touchstones for people across generations, across backgrounds and ideologies, because at some level, every single one of us wants to be free. And God knows that we want to break free. Nearly every single person that wants to be free, and probably every single person gathered here in this church today, knows what it feels like also to feel constrained, to be constrained. And whether we are caught in a complex relationship like Freddie Mercury was talking about in Queen's song, or we feel bound by social or familial expectations, our physical limitations, our addictions, or the various things that hold us in the grip of fear, we know what it feels like to be bound. And we have, at the very center of our being, the burning need to be free. Poverty, hunger, hate, and injustice keep people trapped in every corner of the world, not just ones we hear about on the radio or look at on the news, right here around us. Whether we feel stuck in an unfulfilling job, floundering as we move through the stages of grief that we experience in our lives, or we're just really tired of our parents, they're not here, so I can kind of talk trash about them a bit. We're really tired of our parents telling us to clean our rooms, right? They hate it. I don't know about your kids. Our kids hate it. I know. But something that connects every single one of us is the desire to be free. And God knows. God knows that we want to break free. But you still, if you can hear me way back there, you still have to clean your room if you live in my house. Now, the gospel lesson from Luke today describes a woman who Jesus Christ sets free. We're told about a person who had been afflicted by a spirit for 18 years. And as a result, she was bent over, unable to stand up straight. Now, it is important to understand that evil spirits and infirmities described in Scripture are afflictions to be healed and not necessarily sins to be forgiven. Sin is bigger than any of us single, any single one of us. It's so much more than that. And God doesn't work in that kind of economy. Jesus does not, and this is so important for this particular scripture passage, Jesus does not treat this healing as an exorcism. It is a foolish and insidious trap to attribute the suffering of an individual as God's punishment for their individual sins. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. God does not punish us by causing us to suffer. Suffering is complex, and from a theological perspective, we understand that suffering is a symptom of a fallen and broken world desperate for healing, pleading to rest in the love of God, longing to be set free. And God knows that. God knows that we want to break free. So for 18 years, this good person, this devoted worshiper, this child of the covenant, this daughter of Abraham, it's the only time that phrase is used in all of Scripture, this daughter of Abraham. And when things are only said once, we pay attention to them. For 18 years, she has had her entire worldview, her entire being affected by an affliction that required a kind of healing that is different than what human knowledge and skill could provide for her. Interestingly enough, this comes up in Luke, the physician, who reports a medical problem that he, as a human physician, would have been unable to cure. Now, also, a posture problem of this magnitude, again, 90 degrees, right? A posture problem of this magnitude would interfere with everyday tasks and her social relationships. It would put a strain on her organs. It would affect her health in various ways. I imagine that it would have been impossible, if not just completely difficult, to just sleep, to just simply get some rest. She is forced to spend life looking down at the ground rather than like looking up in the sky. She's not even able to look people directly in the eyes. Can you imagine living like that? And after living this way for 18 years, half a lifetime in her world, I imagine she could hardly remember any other way of seeing and experiencing the world. And sometimes we endure grief and suffering for so long that it feels like that's just simply and inherently a part of who we are. Sometimes the only lens with which we view the world is through a lens of pain. If we could liken our lives to a house as a metaphor, it's like sometimes we leave certain doors shut. Certain rooms remain unexplored, unattended to. They're not clean. They get dusty. I wonder what doors and rooms remain shut in your lives, in all of our lives. Now, on this particular Sabbath day, there was probably this buzz, this palpable buzz around the synagogue where this woman went to go worship. This Galilean preacher and this prophet, this Jesus of Nazareth, who had been healing people and talking about God's reign arriving soon, had come to the synagogue where she worshiped. Now, I imagine that she had heard these reports and didn't know whether or not to believe the rumors that she had heard. I imagine she didn't want to get her hopes up because probably in her life she had already had more disappointments than she could possibly count. I bet we can identify with that. She had come to the synagogue that day to worship, not for healing necessarily. And this is interesting. She did not ask Jesus to heal her. But Jesus saw her and he called her over because God knows. And God knows that we want to break free. And it is Jesus' faith and the faith in God that Jesus has, rather than her faith, that sets the stage for her healing today. And with a few words and the laying on of hands, Jesus does indeed heal this good person, this beloved child of God, this daughter of Abraham. He says, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment. You are set free. I absolutely love that. We share in the hope of God's love and join Jesus. We join the apostles and the believers across time and space in this ministry of healing. There are some words that you may have been spoken to by one of us or just may know. I lay my hands upon you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, beseeching him to uphold you and fill you with his grace, that you may know the power of his healing love. These words are from the ministration to the sick and are said every Wednesday evening at our healing service here in the chapel. And I invite you and hope that you will join us at 5 o'clock on Wednesday evenings if and when you feel the need to worship and get a sense of healing. I invite you to come and explore what it means to heal in the context of Christian worship and Christian community. Now, God knew that this woman, this daughter of Abraham, wanted to break free from the bonds Satan had bound her up in for 18 years, and Jesus set her free. Now, she sees the world in a completely different way. Now, she can look people in the eye. She can gaze up at the stars. She can watch birds soar through the sky. And she can finally, after 18 years, rest. And even better, rather than viewing the world through the lens of pain, she now sees the world through the lens of Christ Jesus. She now sees the world through the healing power of God's love. So no wonder she stands up straight and immediately begins praising God. And then we come to the second part of our gospel lesson today. We're told that the leader of the synagogue becomes indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath. He keeps saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured and not on the Sabbath day." Now, I think it's very easy for us to paint this leader as the bad guy, the antagonist in this situation. And he is in a way, but I don't think that that's completely right. This leader is quoting and interpreting the Ten Commandments, the laws that they abided by or they tried to, maybe just not to the best of their ability. His, though, is a faithful reading, at least to him, of Torah. The Ten Commandments are found twice in Hebrew Scripture, and the idea of Sabbath is expounded upon frequently. Now, in the 20th chapter of Exodus, the commandment to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy is to recall and celebrate God's work in creation. And then, in the 5th chapter of Deuteronomy, the commandment to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy is to structure one's life and behave in a way that recognizes that God has liberated the people of Israel from slavery and bondage. It's both of those things. It's all of those things. In both places where the Ten Commandments are found in Hebrew Scripture, work is done in the 6 days leading up to the Sabbath so that God's people could regularly, intentionally focus their attention on God's work in the world, to slow down so that you could find a sense of healing and peace in a relationship with God, with creation, and with one another. The leader of the synagogue is behaving, though, as we would expect our leaders to behave. He is, in his time and context, following the rules as he understands them. And further, and this is important, he's not prohibiting Jesus or anybody else from healing this woman. She has lived with this ailment for 18 years. Surely she can wait for just one more day. And Jesus, himself a Palestinian Jew, a rabbi of sorts, he knows the rules. Yet what he is doing through his teaching and healing is interpreting the law, the rules, in a different way. He is transforming them. He is changing them into something that is more close, special, and loving in terms of our relationship with God. Jesus sees healing as a holy act of compassion rather than the normal distracting work or labor that may keep us from focusing on a relationship with God. He refers to the synagogue leader and others as hypocrites. And he does this argument, almost as a lawyer might do, from the lesser to the greater, saying that it is illogical and immoral to have compassion for their livestock, but to deny compassion to one of their own people. Doesn't make sense. Because healing in the name of God is holy. It does honor the Sabbath. And it does provide a foretaste of what the kingdom of God will look like. A place free of pain and suffering. A place full of praise and joy. Healing in the name of God recognizes God's continuous work in the world and in our lives. Healing in the name of God is to proclaim that God isn't an event that happened in the past. It is the proclamation that God is revealed in a continuous creation, continually making people and things new. God is also revealed in the continuous liberation of people enslaved not only by human masters, but also through healing and freedom from those forces of evil and wickedness that bind us and keep us bent low. Now, anyone that's ever had to recover from an injury, an illness, a surgery, or treatment knows that part of that process involves rest. And hopefully in the future, we can explore together what Holy Sabbath rest might look like in our lives, in our current contexts. And today, I encourage you to explore the healing power of God's love. Today, I encourage us to identify those parts of our pasts, those parts of our present, those parts of our lives that will heal only by the power of God's love and through Jesus Christ. Keeping the door closed to the people and situations that cause us to suffer does not eliminate the issue. The issues just stay hidden, and they're not dealt with. Part of the gift of exploring the healing power of God's love is that it opens the doors in those rooms of our lives. And healing encourages us to walk through those doors, to discover the grace and hope that may be inside of each room that we encounter. Healing in the name of God also changes how we view and we understand rest. Being compassionate to others and also being compassionate to ourselves, friends, is a form of rest. Rather than rest simply from physical activity, Jesus is inviting us to rest in God. Jesus is inviting us to rest in the healing power of God's love. And like the woman in our gospel lesson today, there may be things in our lives that need healing. But for whatever reason, we may not even want to risk asking for Christ to heal us. But God knows. God knows that we want to break free. God is compassionate. Jesus saw this woman bent over and suffering in the middle of a large crowd, too discouraged to even ask for help. He saw her there, and he called to her, and he said, "You are set free." And that's the good news. In Christ, we can all know the healing power of God's love. And when we do, friends, we will be set free. Amen.